Today on Making Sense with Rob Case, financial setbacks, loss of personal income, loss of financial security, loss of temperament and mind due to trying to honor unreasonable expectations. When the trend leans towards loss, what do you do? If you have experienced tremendous adversity within this past year, how do you react at the thought of giving thanks? Loss, growing difficulties and opportunity, hardships, growing dangers, suffering, and frustration are distinguishing features that define the hard times in which we live. There is no doubt that when bad things occur, we first react to the shock, and anxieties rise as a result. This then leads into a state of vulnerability. Fear of what we don't know and fear of what can happen for the worse can feel overwhelming, and this feeling can make us feel helpless depending on who or what we put our faith and trust in, as well as our state of mind. How we handle adverse hardships depends on the attitude we carry before we take the direction that we choose. Believe it or not, that attitude, and the fuel or lack thereof, will reflect either one of two outlooks, a hopeless one or a hopeful one. In this special Thanksgiving edition of Making Sense with Rob Case, we are going to look at one of the most definitive Bible passages on Thanksgiving, where it talks about giving thanks in everything that happens to us. Can circumstances make this an incompatible concept, or something that can be taken to heart? You may be surprised at how much rests on your outlook as we examine the truth behind 1 Thessalonians 5:18 on this edition of Making Sense with Rob Case. Hello, and welcome to Making Sense with Rob Case. I am your host, Rob Case. The holiday of Thanksgiving is actually my favorite holiday, second to Christmas. And why? Because it brings the family together not only to eat a lot of wonderful food, but also to actually share some of the things that we are thankful for. Seriously. In fact, several years ago, my mother began a tradition where we would have a contest to list everything we could think of within a 30-minute time span. After the 30 minutes was up, whoever had the most items listed won a prize of some sort, whether it was a carton of ice cream, a $5 gift card, or perhaps even a combo meal at like McDonald's or something. This contest motivated us to brainstorm about what we were thankful for and for 30 minutes list everything we could possibly think of within that time frame. I must say, if ever there was a means to get us to think hard about what we were thankful for, this was an effective one. But what if you had a rough year? What if you don't feel as though there is anything to be thankful for? What happens when you feel as though you are stuck in a rut and that's all you can think about? Well, to look at these things, you must be willing to critically examine your outlook. You see, if your outlook is one that is built on a sense of helplessness, and from there will be made up of feelings of discouragement, discontentment, and doubt that your circumstances will change for the better, then your outlook is going to be one of hopelessness and defeat. Unfortunately, many times this breeds an attitude of, I'm done for, and then every other challenge and form of adversity is seen through that prism of thought. When we think about these things, and our outlook is one of hopelessness and defeat, then we may tend to take an incredible length of time feeling sorry for ourselves and worrying about our situation, that it can become all-consuming. If all we can think of is, what is happening to me? Why did they do this to me? What is to become of me? Then we're not thinking in terms of accomplishments, achievements, moments of excellence, and exercise talents and established problem-solving skills that were built in us due to us being at a certain designated place at a certain designated time. In fact, if you know the Lord and your heart is right with Him, then you will know that everything that is happening to you is a moment of preparation for something that He has designated for you. This truth can get a bit murky at best or undiscovered at worst, because the first place that the damage of loss and hardships done is to a person's sense of pride and purpose in life. When this becomes the center of a person's thinking, the negative feelings and emotions surrounding adverse circumstances can discourage a person to the point where they either become so victimized in their mentality that they become bitter to the point that by their words, deeds, and actions, they condemn themselves to a defeatist state of mind and repel others by their influence. Or they may lay in an inactive state of carelessness and depression. Of course, when a person falls subjectively to influences of bitterness, hopelessness, and defeat, their effects can appear to be larger than life itself. But when examined through an objective standpoint, they turn out to be feelings, attitudes, moods, and emotions that may have turned negative because your sense of independence, security, and/or purpose was so invested in the status quo that the influences of pride and fear ended up, slowly but surely, becoming the foundation for which you built your entire future on. That said, if you experienced a loss of job, home, and peace of mind, then consider this a dramatic humbling test of who you put your hope and faith in. Do you put your hope and faith in yourself, or do you put your hope and faith in God? When we return, we will examine the differences between relying solely on yourself and relying on God, as your outlook to make the next step depends on your attitude. In order to survive, thrive, and know your surroundings, one must acquire a sense of direction, order, and set of principles to follow. At the Making Sense message boards, we not only do all of those things, but we make it interesting. Visit makingsense.proboards.com to see what the deal is. And don't forget to listen to Making Sense with Rob Case right here on this channel. Write it down and make it a priority. It's the dawn of a new era, and we want you to be making sense. Visit makingsense.proboards27.com today. We now return to Making Sense with Rob Case. Experiencing some of the ramifications of loss, damage, and hardship, in essence, are painful in the short term, but they are opportunities to learn and restructure your life and priorities in the long term. You see, if you are stuck in the past and consumed by the pain of your encounters, then you're only going to take that pain and a replay of the past circumstances that led to it into your present and your future, and the opportunities that you have to change your circumstances will be bleak. From there, you will be faced with the question of, do you really want to live out your life dwelling on the past? Sometimes it is a challenge to restructure your life and priorities, because it requires that you start over. But it is imperative to be thankful for the chances to start over and or take a different approach at your hardships and circumstances, because if you do, you will have the opportunity to gain wisdom in knowing what to do differently and what not to do again. Now, in the intro to this show, I briefly discuss 1 Thessalonians 5:18. In it, Paul states, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." If you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then this is going to get interesting. If you don't, hang on for just a moment and I'll address your situation. If you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, then you will know that you were bought at a price, and that God molds you and shapes you on a daily basis to prepare you for where He wants you next. When you encounter hardships and loss, feelings of hopelessness and anxiety, think of Paul and the seemingly hopeless circumstances he experienced firsthand. When he wrote to the Corinthian people, he reminisced about hardships he experienced. In 2 Corinthians 11:24 through 27, he records, "Five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods, once I was pelted with stones. Let me stop there for a moment. Now, this is from a man who was well-versed in Old Testament scriptures and a rising star in the Sanhedrin, which was basically the primary institution of the Pharisees. In other words, they were the keepers of the law, the main preservers of the scriptures, and their people were well-versed and well-educated, especially when it pertained to the scriptures. Now, this man participated in the persecution of many of the early Christians who simply were empowered by what they saw and experienced via the power of God. Now, this is interesting. After Jesus humbled him by temporarily blinding him and showing Paul, which at that time was Saul, before he became Paul, before he temporarily blinded him and showed Paul how real he was at a state where he was susceptible to change. From there, he became one of the most powerful leaders in terms of bringing people to Jesus Christ than there ever was. That said, from going from a leader of causing hardships and turmoil of Christians, he was now experiencing hardships and turmoil from the very types of people he once led. Moving on, Paul writes, 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. To briefly summarize, could you imagine thinking that you might be left for dead somewhere or in a dangerous situation that it might seem that you cannot get out from? Needless to say, on top of all that, could you imagine being vulnerable and defenseless to adversaries, in danger with a group of people whose mindset you once had, as well as being in danger from people who are dangerously resistant to your message, and from people who twist the truth and establish their own false sense of it? Could you imagine being left hungry and without food, cold and naked, not knowing what was to become of you? What is interesting to me about this experience is how a particular truth Jesus mentioned when he was here took care of Paul and provided for him amidst all of the terrible circumstances he faced. The particular truth I am referring to is recorded in Matthew 6:25-27, where it states, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" And even though the Apostle Paul experienced many more hardships than the one I just mentioned, after all was said and done, he wrote to the Thessalonians, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Now, when you personally experience something and you need counseling and guidance, who do you normally go to? Do you go to someone who understands your situation, has perhaps experienced your situation, and or do you get some counsel from someone who has overcome a series of obstacles, hardships, and negative mindsets as a hope for what you may be going through at the moment? You may be experiencing them yourself. This is one of the reasons why I trust God to get me through them, because, hey, I experience discouragement, doubt, sadness, and so forth, just like everybody else. But God shows me precisely some of the forerunners who had it so much worse than I did on so many levels that if I begin to try to compare my circumstances to theirs, mine would never stand a chance. But that doesn't mean that God doesn't care as much about your circumstances and mine as he did about those circumstances from those who were recorded in the Bible. He cares for them as much because he loves and cares about you. And if he loves and cares about you, he will watch out for you and remind you to be faithful, to depend on him, and from that dependence and aid, give you a sense of peace and tranquility, knowing that he is going to get you through whatever you are facing. Now, for those of you who do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, all that is available are psychological methods of behavior modification. Sure, you can change your attitude, but if you are experiencing tremendous adversity, then a simple change in attitude might not get you where you need to go. Why do I say that? Well, because sometimes when you simply change your attitude and approach things in a similar fashion, but not entirely how you approached them before, you are likelier to address things within the same erroneous approaches. When Jesus said, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free," in John 8:32, this dynamic works on a variety of ways. In other words, when you know Christ personally, he can change your heart, mind, and soul from the inside to where you can discern things that are within you and need changing, some of which you may not even be aware of. And when you come to Christ and experience adversity and hardships, God will instill within you power, fresh new outlooks that will amaze you, and a different set of priorities that will help you not stay dependent on the common ones that this world depends on. You see, in many instances and occasions, we approach things from the confines of our own limited understanding. We then have a tendency to focus our survival on our own means of provision, and from there, depending on our approach or lack of getting to where we are supposed to be, we may end up hurting ourselves believing that our pursuits and our decisions are the right ones, but may not be seen in the same way from other people. Things like this lead to an array of missed opportunities and the prevention of reaching one's real potential if they would simply place their faith and hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what I would like to do is invite you to come to Christ. I will show you how when we return to Making Sense with Rob Case. In order to survive, thrive, and know your surroundings, one must acquire a sense of direction, order, and set of principles to follow. At the Making Sense message boards, we not only do all of those things, but we make it interesting. Visit makingsense.proboards.com to see what the deal is. And don't forget to listen to Making Sense with Rob Case right here on this channel. Write it down and make it a priority. It's the dawn of a new era, and we want you to be making sense. Visit makingsense.proboards27.com today. We now return to Making Sense with Rob Case. One of the most amazing things about the Apostle Paul is that he was appointed by Christ to bring not only the good news of the gospel to people all over the known civilized world, but to also have the resilient energy, momentum, endurance, and perseverance that he had in the midst of incredibly adverse circumstances. That said, Paul had a lot to be thankful for in that Christ abruptly stopped him on the path he was heading toward, confronted him, and humbled him to the degree that he would be receptive to the truth. His knowledge of the Old Testament scriptures, mixed with his encounter with the post-resurrected Jesus, and his personal experience with the power of the Holy Spirit, unraveled the meaning of the Old Testament scriptures that he knew in his mind, and opened up his heart and mind to a world of new life, undiscovered truth that he could apply to his life revealed only by the power of God, and also instill within him a new and humbling way of thinking which would have never been detected by the highly educated hierarchy of the Jewish Sanhedrin, what with their performances, if you will, of rituals and practices. If it weren't for the power of God intervening in the life of Paul and others through Jesus Christ, it would have never been discovered by the intellectual limits of human understanding, as the power of God is not placed within the confines of human intellect. The power of God is something that is live, active, and energizing. But this is only experienced by those who actually have it. For those of you who do have it, you know by experience exactly what I'm talking about. For those of you who don't have it, I will explain to you how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. One of the first things that God requires of you is that you come to Him by faith in a humble state. By faith, one of the most powerful verses that backs this up is Hebrews 6:11, where it states, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him." Another thing, another primary component, is a humbled state. A humbled state of mind. Now, in the Old Testament, in Proverbs 29:23, there is this one particular verse that's interesting. "Pride brings a person low, but the lowly in spirit gain honor." Jesus also said, "For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." That's found in Matthew 23:12. The next thing that is required is that you try to repent from your sins. In other words, by repentance, you are willing to want to change your way of living your life, and you allow Him to refine your heart and your priorities from within. Then, believe that He died on the cross for your sins, and that He rose again 3 days later. The next thing to do is to ask Him directly into your heart and into your life. You know, 1 Samuel 16, 7b states, "The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Acts 15:8 states, "God who knows the heart showed that He accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them, just as He did to us." Or 1 Chronicles 28:9, "For the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts." And Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." If your motive is genuine and your heart is sincere, God will make you into a new person, just like He did with Paul. And like He did with Paul, He will provide you with a new outlook and give you a reason to give thanks in all circumstances, just like He stated when He was mired in circumstances that would make anyone absent from knowing Christ feel as though a circumstance that appears hopeless is in fact hopeless, and a defeated outlook leads to defeat. If you would like me to wrap it all up in a prayer, then pray this prayer after me. It's simple, it's short, and it's sweet and to the point. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, and I need Your forgiveness. I believe that You died for my sins on the cross, and that You rose again and conquered them, and all that is connected with them. I want to turn from my sins. I ask You to come into my heart and into my life, and I want to trust You and follow You as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. The Apostle Paul would not have an attitude of hopelessness and thanksgiving on his own merit had he not been confronted with the truth of Jesus Christ and the change that coincides with knowing Him as his own personal Savior. And the fact that this power continues to be dispersed today reveals a genuine hopefulness that you can be thankful in all circumstances, including adverse circumstances of loss, hardship, and feelings of hopelessness and defeat. Those are mindsets that can be felt even among Christians, but Christ won't let those things overcome and overwhelm us when we trust Him in the midst of these circumstances. And so, as I leave you with this truth, I wish you all a happy Thanksgiving. Thanks for listening. You have been listening to Making Sense with Rob Case. Making Sense with Rob Case is a product of Robert W. Case Productions. Copyright 2013, Robert W. Case Productions. Thank you and good night.